awesome. I'm very excited to be speaking to you all this morning and diving right into the book of Luke. But also, I want to say happy Black History Month. Yeah. I'm very proud to be African American. And we want to take this time as a group this month to really honor and remember Black history. And so, personally, when I think about Black History Month, I think about legacy. I think about legacy. And legacy is something that's left behind from the people before us. Right? It could be an inheritance. It could be a heroic action that affects the future. It could be a company or a charity that helps others. But it's something that's passed on. That's what legacy is. And it's built by the people who came before us and who left such a long-lasting impact that it affects us today. And so when I think of Black History Month, I think about legacy. But also when I read the Bible, I think about legacy as well. And so it's cool that this morning we're going to talk about legacy, and that's going to be the main topic today. We're going to talk about what legacy is and what legacy we have because of God. And more specifically, I'm going to be talking about some very strong women of God who fought to build a legacy that impacted the world. All right, and so I'm super excited to look at specifically Mary and Elizabeth, but if you guys want to turn to Luke chapter 1, we're going to pick back up where we left off from the past couple weeks. And we just started going through Luke, but in the first 38 verses, we've already heard about two miracle pregnancies already. It's like their babies are just popping out. I don't know what's going on. But we have Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, who was told that she is giving birth to John the Baptist. And the thing about Elizabeth is that she was told because of her old age that she couldn't have children. And so this is a miracle pregnancy that happened. And then we have Mary, who is a virgin at this point, and she's told that she's going to have a baby. And so that itself is a miracle. But not only that, her baby is going to be the savior of the world. He's going to be Jesus Christ. And so we already have two pregnancies going on here. And right where we left off, Mary found out that she's giving birth to Jesus. And so when we pick back up, we're going to read about Mary visiting Elizabeth and celebrating this news. And, you know, when someone gets the news that they're going to have a baby, I mean, that's surprising news in general. But it can also be scary, right, depending on your situation. And so for both of these pregnancies, there's a range of emotions these two women could have felt.
Right.
It could have been fear of the unknown. Especially with Mary, like she's a virgin about to get married to Joseph and he finds out she's pregnant. You know, that's a lot of fear with that situation. There could be pressure, right? There could be pride, there could be worry. There are a bunch of different emotions that these two women could have felt. But one thing that stands out to me in this passage we're going to read is that they didn't show any of these emotions. They showed joy instead. And that's powerful. And so the title of my lesson today is A Legacy of Joy. And we're going to be talking about what a legacy is, but also what a legacy of joy is in the scriptures. And so let's go to Luke chapter 1.
Come on,
and let's
Caleb.
Read starting in verse 39.
Let's go, bro.
It says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. We'll stop there. But this is such a great story, such an inspiring and joyful story. And it's wild because there's such a large source of joy beaming out of Mary that even the baby John in Elizabeth's womb is jumping for joy. And I just think about like the High School Musical poster, like everybody jumping up. Like John is doing that in the womb. And that's kind of crazy. But I want to hear from you guys. What are some things that bring you guys joy? It could be anything. But what are some things in life that just give you joy? I know for me, It's free food. Cinnamon rolls. Oh, yeah. It's my favorite type of food.
There you go.
But also family, lifelong friendships. Chick-fil-A open on Sundays would bring me joy.
Oh.
My wife. Sleeping in. But I want to hear from you guys. What are some things that bring you joy? At the end.
Hot chocolate.
We have some in the back. But that's great. Hot chocolate brings you joy. What else brings you guys joy?
Coffee.
Yeah. Okay, we have both of those things in the back. Because we get a lot of joy today. Playing basketball. All right.
We don't have that here.
There's something you'd like to do. I don't have basketball here. There's no hoop here, but you can play on your own time.
I second Chick-fil-A, too.
Chick-fil-A open on Sundays? That would bring you joy? Yeah. That's amazing.
Good music.
Yeah. There's nothing like some great music. Manuela?
Eating plenty of food in the city.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there's some great food. Yeah. Great food in the city, for sure. Anyone else want to share what gives them joy? If not, all good. We're going to be talking about joy, so we'll be more in a joyful mood, hopefully by the end of this. But we need joy.
Yeah.
Right? Life would be terrible without joy, or these things that bring us joy. And it's because life can be so discouraging and stressful. There's heartbreak, disappointment, and sorrow. I can think of a time, I think it was about a couple weeks ago, I was following my favorite team. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. And so I was watching the Lions game with Julian the Persings. And the Lions, my entire life, have never been good. Never, ever. And in 2001, their record was like 3-13. They set a record for like the most losses in the season or something like that. They've been terrible. But this season, they were doing fantastic. They were 11-4.
Right.
They were going to the NFC Championship versus the 49ers, and I was watching this game, and they were giving me hope. Right, the first half ended, and it was 24-7.
That's right.
The Lions were destroying the 49ers.
A lot of joy.
And I was like, oh, we're about to go to the Super Bowl. The Lions, they just needed to win that game, and they would go to the Super Bowl. And so I was invested. I was like, oh my gosh, the Lions are going to the Super Bowl for the first time in history. They're going to the Super Bowl. And I'm watching. The second half rolls around. They're making all sort of crazy mistakes. Fumbles, turnovers, crazy catches from the other team. I'm like, what is going on? And then they end up tying the game. Somehow the 49ers come back. And then the 49ers take the lead. Take the lead by three. And by the end of the game, the Lions lost by 3 points. And if you were there in that room with me, you could see the joy being taken out of my life. I wish I would have put the picture up here. Julia took a picture of me. I was looking so defeated. But we need joy. We need to hold on to things that bring us joy, because otherwise, it just doesn't look good for us. And I needed joy that day and that night for sure. But let's look back at this scripture to see what gave Mary and Elizabeth joy. Mm-hmm. That's a great place to start. Where should our source of joy come from?
Come on, Caleb.
And in verse 43, I think that's good to look at right here. But Elizabeth says, "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And so looking at this, it's easy to think that, oh, the joy came from Mary's greeting, which, you know, it's probably a great greeting. But I think the joy, even in Mary giving that greeting, was from Jesus. It's from the presence of Jesus in Mary's womb that gave all of them joy, even John in Elizabeth's womb, jumping for joy. And it gave Mary joy, which in her greeting radiated to Elizabeth, which in turn made baby John jump in the womb. And this legacy of joy that they're both building, it all started with the presence of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. And even looking at verse 45, Elizabeth says, "Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." So we see two areas where joy was coming from. It was coming from Jesus' presence, but it was also coming from God's promises here. And as God is working through Mary and Elizabeth to build this everlasting legacy, we see that they receive joy from Jesus' presence, but also joy from God's promises. And so those are my two points for this morning.
Right.
Point one is joy from his presence, and point two is joy from his promises.
Come on, bro.
And so let's talk about joy from his presence.
Good stuff.
The fact that God was willing to send his son down to earth through Mary to dwell with us, that's enough to bring anyone joy. But that brought joy to Mary and Elizabeth and even John before he was even born in the womb. And Jesus, he hadn't even done anything yet. He hadn't taught anyone. He hadn't died yet. He hadn't done any miracles.
Right.
Their joy came simply from his presence. And if you think about the people in your life that bring you joy just from their presence, they're people you probably know well, right? They're people you've had memories with. Your best friends, the people you love. And for me, Julia is one of those people.
Mm. Come on, Julia.
She's one of those people in my life that bring me joy just from her presence. And there was a time when we were dating and she was deep in finals, I was done with school. And she's like, Caleb, I really can't go on a date this weekend. Like, I gotta study for this bio exam. And I would literally go to her school in Stony Brook just to sit with her while she studies.
Mm.
We're not doing anything together. Like, she's just studying and I'm sitting there reading a book or watching YouTube or whatever it is. But it's just this fact that us being together brought me joy.
That's awesome.
Right? And I know there's people like that in your life. And now that we're married, it would be weird and really bad if Julia's presence did not bring me any joy. Like, it would be concerning.
Yeah.
If Julia's presence had no effect on my emotions at all. If she came home and I'm never excited to see her. If she greets me and I don't respond with enthusiasm, ever. If she's gone all week and I don't notice. Like, that would be crazy. Red flags all around. But if you saw that dynamic between us, you wouldn't think we were married, right? If we interacted like that and, you know, nothing affected me. You know, she was gone for a week or two, I didn't notice. You wouldn't think we were married. You would think we were strangers.
Mm.
But yet, with our relationship with God, sometimes we can claim to have this great connection, this great relationship with God, but yet we don't respond to him with enthusiasm.
Mm.
We don't spend time with him unless someone else reminds us to.
Come on, brother.
Or a week could go by without us reading our Bible or in prayer, and we don't even notice.
Mm.
Right? We don't even miss him. And I've been there. I've been in that situation. But if someone were to look at how your dynamic with Jesus is right now, if you're trying your best to follow his teachings, if you're reading your Bible, if you're spending time in prayer, what would they see? Would they see someone who's really close with Jesus or someone who's a stranger to Jesus? So really reflect on that. But do you notice the absence of Jesus in your life? Do you notice it? Do you respond to Jesus with enthusiasm? Does Jesus' presence bring you joy?
Come on.
And a lot of the times, that's not the case. The world gives us other things that give us temporary joy. Right? And so if not Jesus, then what is your source of joy? And I know we heard different things, you know, whether it's food, Chick-fil-A, basketball. Right? I know we have all these other things that bring us joy. And I think God puts different things in our life to bring us joy. But we need to be careful not to make these things our source of joy.
Yeah.
If the Lions winning were my source of joy,
oh,
I would be done for. Like, I would not be up here.
That's right.
I'd be in my room still crying, watching that loss over and over again. If that was my source of joy, that's what it would be. If Chick-fil-A was your source of joy, then you would be a wreck today. Today is Sunday. Chick-fil-A is closed. And you'd be even more of a wreck if you go to Chick-fil-A throughout the week, you see it, but you look at your bank account, you don't have enough money to get Chick-fil-A. you would be destroyed. But you don't want your source of joy to be something that can be so easily wavered. Right? You want your source of joy to be reliable, to be unwavering, to be radiating with contagious joy. And where do we find that? We find that from the Creator Himself, the one who created joy, God. But for you, what is your source of joy? Does it come from something that wavers, or God, who will never waver? Does it come from your bank account? Because once that bill comes, you're going to be sad. Once that subscription takes money out of your account, your joy is going to be gone. Or does it come from attention on social media? What happens when you make a post and only get 2 likes? What happens then? Where's your joy? Where's your joy when someone comments on your Instagram post something negative? Where's your joy then, right? Is that your source of joy? Does your joy come from material things? Cars, shoes, electronics? What happens when you get a stain on that new Gucci shirt or you crease your Jordans? What happens then? Where's your joy? If your joy is coming from the things of this world, then you're never going to be truly fulfilled. Your joy is always going to be dependent on things that are unreliable and that are wavering. But if our source of joy is God, then we're going to be filled with joy just from His presence. I love this scripture in Psalm 16, verse 9. And it says, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." See, God wants to fill each and every one of you with His joy. But in order to do that, you have to make Him your source of joy. Right? And so the question is, how do you do that? How do you make God your source of joy? I think it starts with getting to know and connecting with Him. You're most likely not going to find joy in seeing a stranger on the street because you don't know them. Right? But you have joy when you see your best friend randomly on the A train. Right? That brings you joy. And so you need to get to know God, or else you're not going to have joy in His presence. You're not going to know Him very well. But get to know God as best as you can, because the more you do, the more you'll see His character. You're going to see His power.
Yeah.
You're going to see His unwavering love for you. Mm-hmm. You're going to see His dedication and patience for you. You're going to see the things He wants to protect you from. You're going to see just how well He really knows you. You're going to see the intentionality He had when even creating you. And you're going to see what Jesus, who was God in the flesh, what He stood for, how He interacted with people. And once you connect with these things and you see these things, His presence is going to give you joy. Just from who He is. He doesn't have to do anything else. But you're not going to connect with who He is unless you get to know Him better. You spend consistent time with Him. Because He wants to fill you all with joy. Amen. And in order to take on this legacy of joy, we need to make God our source of joy. And that means getting joy from His presence. But it also means getting joy from His promises. So we're going to talk about that right now. Joy from His promises. And going back to Luke chapter 1.
I'll go back a little bit.
Luke chapter 1, starting verse 44. Says, this is Elizabeth talking. She says, "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill His promises to her." And I love what Elizabeth says here. Not only did they have joy from his presence, but they also had joy from His promises. And what's key here is that Mary believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises. And it's pretty hard to have joy with anyone's promises if you don't believe they're going to fulfill it. Right? Like if Vianney came up to me, he was like, hey, bro, I'm going to give you $10 million. I don't know if I would believe that necessarily. Because I don't think Yannick is a millionaire, right? But if Jeff Bezos or somebody came up to me and was like, hey, Caleb, I'll give you $10 million. I'm more likely to believe that. You know, he has $10 million to throw away. You know what I mean? But you can't get joy from a promise you don't truly believe in. Mm-hmm. And so the question is,
come on, bro.
Do you believe that God will fulfill his promises to you? Do you believe that? But I guess first I should ask, do you know what God's promises to you are? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go through a few here.
Go to the slide.
But do you know what God promises for you? He promises to provide for you. Did you know that? He promises to provide in Matthew 6. He says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things you might be worried about, all these things will be given to you. He promises to provide for our needs when we seek his kingdom first. He promises to give us guidance and wisdom. Did you know that? God promises to guide us and provide wisdom when we ask. In James 1, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Did you know that God promises us rest? We need it. Jesus promises rest to those who are weary and burdened. In Matthew 11, it says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Rest for your souls. God promises us help in trouble. In Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. God promises us peace. He promises to guard us with his peace when we come to him in anxious times. That's in Philippians 4. You can read all about that. And finally, there's many more, but the last one I have up here is knowing the truth, which is very important. Jesus promises that we'll know the truth, and that truth will set us free if we obey his teachings.
Yeah.
And that's in John 8. And these aren't nearly all of the promises of the Bible. But I just wanted to name off some of them to give you guys an idea of how much God wants to take care of you.
Yeah.
And his promises reflect that. And you better believe that God can fulfill each and every one of these promises up here.
Amen, bro.
But do you really believe that God will fulfill his promises to you? The joy you get from any promise depends on how much you believe the person will fulfill it. So in order to get that joy from God's promises, you have to believe. You have to have faith that he will do what he promises. Right now, I want to take some time to really honor another woman of legacy. Mm-hmm. And she's actually outside of the Bible. She was born in 1913 in Tuskegee, Alabama, and she was African American. And during that time, there were still major segregation laws, especially in Alabama. And these laws and practices, in many situations, would separate people by race. And that's just how it was back then. That would separate whites and colors. And you name it, it was probably segregated. Restrooms, restaurants, public transportation. And this woman, she worked as a seamstress at a department store in Alabama. And she would also often take the bus to work and to home. And so one day she was on the bus and she was going home. She found a seat in the colored section of the bus, which was in the back of the bus. And so she was sitting down, and as the bus kept going, it kept getting more crowded. And eventually the bus operator told her, as well as three other colored women, to get up from their seats to make room for a white gentleman. And so that day, this woman decided to really stand up for what she believed in. What she believed in about unity, about civil justice, about everything. And so she decided to tell that gentleman no. And this woman I'm talking about is Rosa Parks. I'm sure you've heard of her. But Rosa Parks, what she did that day, that bravery she showed that day impacted the world. She's a woman of legacy. And what she did, her stand against segregation and the laws in Alabama led to a civil rights movement that changed the world. Her bravery to stand up against segregation led to a bus boycott in Alabama that was so successful that it led to a Supreme Court decision overturning some laws in that city in Alabama. And ever since then, she continued to fight for civil justice and unity. And I want to read a quote from Rosa Parks. She really inspires me. And it has a lot to do with this point we're talking about. But this is a quote from her. She said, "As a child, I learned from the Bible to trust in God and to not be afraid. And I felt the Lord would give me the strength to endure whatever I had to face. God did away with all my fear." And this is coming from Rosa Parks. That took a lot of fear for her to stand up against the laws at the time, against what was normal at the time. She stood up against all of that, and she got all of that from God. God was her source of joy. It did away with her fear. What helped her to overcome her fear was trusting in God's promises. And it's inspiring to know that she trusted God to fulfill his promise when it comes to giving her peace in times of fear. She's a great example. And she lived a long life and continued to fight to her last day. And she died of natural causes in 2005. And guess where she died? In Detroit, Michigan. In 2005. And thousands of people gathered to honor her life, and I was one of those people. 7 years old with my family, I went to her funeral to honor her in 2005. And so that just goes to show the legacy that Rosa Parks had on people like me, you know? Without her, there are a lot of things I wouldn't be able to do if the laws were still the same, right? She had a legacy on the people beyond her. And so, for a second, let's talk about Jesus' legacy, because he had a legacy too. He humbled himself to coming down to earth so that we could see and learn from God in the flesh.
Come on, Caleb.
Right? He lived a life of no sin to give us an example to follow. He led a movement of love and emphasized serving one another. He had the power of God, but he didn't use it for fame or for pleasure or anything like that. No, he used it to heal people. He used it to serve other people and to bring joy to people's lives. And finally, he died to set us free from sin. And without his sacrifice, without his legacy, we would have no way to connect with the joy of God or to have a true relationship with God. And in a few minutes here, we're gonna take some time to remember the ultimate legacy of joy. And so we're going to hand out some communion cups. Raise your hand if you don't have one, and we'll get that to you. But we're going to take some time to remember Jesus's legacy. And this is a legacy that impacted everyone for eternity. This is a legacy that we still have to this day because of him. And to end off here, I want to read a scripture from John 15. And these are the words of Jesus. And he talks about making our joy complete. And I want to end with that because this whole day is about joy. And I really want to just look at Jesus's legacy and how we can pass that on to other people around us. And so let's go to John 15. John chapter 15, starting in verse 9. It says, And this is Jesus speaking. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has none than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. We'll stop there. But I love this because Jesus says how we can make our joy complete, how we can continue his legacy of joy, and that's remaining in his love. And how do we do that? We love one another like Jesus loved us. We love our brothers and sisters. We love the people that might look different from us. We love the people who come from different backgrounds. We love the people who might believe differently from us. Right? Jesus says, no, to continue in joy, you have to remain in my love.
Right.
To be truly complete in joy, you have to remain in Jesus' love. And so, for you guys, what will be your legacy of joy? How can you make an impact on the generation after you? And I think the best way is through love. It's through Jesus' love. Because Jesus' legacy of joy, it didn't end with him.
Right.
It continues through us. We're called to live like him. The church is the body of Christ. We are him. Right? We can continue this legacy of joy by showing love to the people around us and giving them joy. Because when someone shows love to you, doesn't that bring you joy? We can show love to other people and bring people the joy of Jesus. And so, as we take the cracker that represents Jesus' body and the juice that represents his blood, let's really reflect on the legacy that he's given us. And then another word for legacy is an inheritance. Right? He gave us this inheritance of forgiveness. Right? And that's only through him that we're able to get that. And we can share that with other people. And so I'm going to go ahead and pray here, and let's reflect on that. Dear Lord, thank you so much for your legacy, Lord, the legacy that started with Mary and Elizabeth. Thank you so much for being willing to send your son down to earth to really be a great example of joy, great example of love for us to follow and to pass on to others, Lord. Thank you so much for being willing to sacrifice yourself so that we can have the ultimate joy and be with you, connect with you, Lord. Thank you so much for everything you do for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.